Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is January 1st, 2019. Happy New Year. And it is NFL playoffs and college bowl season. What a lot of information. A lot of news came out in the last week, in the last day. Bowl games going like crazy right now. We've got the Rose Bowl currently on as we speak. So if you're listening to this on a podcast afterwards, you already know the result of the Rose Bowl. 14-3 Ohio State and Urban Meyer's last game going on right now as we speak. So tonight, myself and Jonathan Birdsong are going to recap the week that we had in the NFL. We're going to hit some college bowl season. And we're going to hit a few quick hitters with the Pacers, Pac-12 basketball, as well as the latest trade in Major League Baseball between the Dodgers and one of the local affiliate teams around here, the Cincinnati Reds. So until we get Jonathan Birdsong on real quick, we're going to hit a couple ad reads, and then we will get started.
Hey, guys, you already know the Cash App is the number one app in finance, but did you realize you could get the most powerful debit card in the world with the Cash App? The Cash Card comes with a boost, a feature you can't get anywhere else because the Cash App invented it. Just select the boost in the Cash App store, swipe with the Cash Card, and save like 10% or more at Whole Foods, Shake Shack, Chipotle, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and all coffee shops around the country. The coffee shop boost takes a dollar off any coffee shop drink, including Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, and you can drink 100 cups a year and save $100. It's that simple to become a part of the greatest rewards program ever and download the Cash App now. It's the number one app for a reason, and the Cash Card is the only debit card with Boost. So be an award-winning listener of the Crossroads Sports Radio Show and download the Cash App from the App Store or Google Play Store in order to get your free Cash Card today and get boosted.
All right. Like I said, check out the Cash App store. We've got JB on the line. JB, Happy New Year, my guy. How are you?
Happy New Year, Brandon Reef and the Crossroads fam. All right, Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, it's we brought in the new year. It was everybody survived, so that was good. And what better than right now, probably the best bowl game ever, the Rose Bowl going on right now. Ohio State, Urban Meyer leading the way.
Absolutely. It's probably one of the most historical. I don't know if it's the best, but it's most historical bowl. Urban Meyer, supposed to be his last game. You know, everybody knows my thoughts on that. I don't think so. But I kind of jokingly said that I had the Urban Meyer tonight by 30. I don't think it'll be 30, but they're on their way to sending Urban Meyer out on top in Ohio State tonight.
Absolutely. Let's dive right into. We'll save the college football for the middle. We'll hit the Colts in the NFL. Colts big Sunday night win, 33-17. Wild card number 6 seed going to the NFL playoffs against Houston this Saturday. Second team in history to start out 1-5 and finish 10-6. They won 9 of their last 9-1 in their last 10 games. And Andrew Luck just owning the Titans, 11-0 all time. Thoughts on the game?
The coaches don't like to do nothing easy, right? So
not at all.
So the score was obviously to the positive of the Colts, you know, showing victory, whatnot. You would think with we could say Blaine Gabbert is second tier. You would think that you know the score would have been a whole lot less than what the points the Colts gave up. So with all that being said, you know, Colts still came out with a victory because talent and ultimately rises above anything else, right? Andrew Luck shook the cobwebs off a little bit in the second half, and the Colts got a victory. I won't say unfortunately. The Colts cannot play, though, going forward sloppy like that. I mean, now you're playing against elite-level quarterbacks from here on out, yeah, and everybody, you know, it, like I said, this gets better from here on out. The defense gets better. And even though you're playing a familiar foe in Houston, like I'm always fearful of that third game. So it's good. It's great. Like can you point it to, you alluded to, like the Colts start out 1-5, and like who usually teams go backwards when they start out 1-5. So to make the playoffs is definitely a huge step for this team. And now we're kind of just like saying the Colts are kind of playing with house money.
Absolutely. Like I said, it was a sloppy game, not only for the field conditions, but they don't make anything look easy. I said before during the day on Twitter, I put, there is no way on God's green earth that Blaine Gabbert's going to beat the Colts in a playoff-like situation game. And Mariota didn't play. That's surprising to me, especially in a franchise-defining game like that for the Titans.
Right.
I was shocked there. They also had some other guys out, Brian Arakpo and such, and he ended up retiring today, yesterday. Marlon Mack, 119 yards rushing, Luck, 285 passing and 3 touchdowns. You said, like you said yourself, 1-5, most teams, they falter. A lot of people had this Colts team, you know, within the top, the bottom four, beginning of the season.
Right.
I forget where we had them. I thought I had that paper saved somewhere, but I felt like I had them in the middle of the row. I didn't expect 10 wins myself. I think I had 8 or 9, I think, is what I had. So looking forward to them this Sunday. I think they easily, John, easily beat the Texans in Houston. I've got Colts 34-13 over Houston. Because I will tell you why. All the Saturday afternoon games, all the Saturday 4:30 games that have been played so far in the playoffs that have been on ESPN, every year they're a blowout. Why is it going to change this time? Colts in a rout.
I would take the Colts. I couldn't take the Colts in a rout, not at all. I know this is Deshaun Watson's, this is the home game for them. And they were if the Colts were at one point, the Colts are the hottest team right going into the playoffs. At one point, the Houston Texans were the hottest team in the playoffs. In the regular season, because I think they started out 0-3. I thought till they beat the Colts on that, what some people call controversial Frank Wright call, where, you know what I'm saying, he went for it or whatever, or didn't take the points. But hey, right, but. Oh man, I'm sorry. I got caught up in watching the Ohio State game. Sorry,
but, that's all right.
I can't think Houston's not going to be out there just as trying to win the game. Basically, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I think your boy Bill O'Brien. I'm telling you, they're driving. I say it is driving, but your boy Bill O'Brien, I think he does not get it done again, and. Maybe he'll be another coaching position. I doubt it. They'll give Bill another year. He's earned it. But speaking of coaches,
go ahead.
Looking at the games real quick, there's nothing that really caught my eye. I mean, there's a few that caught my eye. Ravens beat the Browns. Browns tried to make it interesting there at the end. I was pulling for it as a Steeler fan, obviously. Needing the Browns to beat the Ravens. I'll get into the whole Steeler situation here shortly. That was a surprise. I was not surprised in the Vikings. Like I said, I think Kirk Cousins is the most overrated quarterback or player in the NFL. Shit the bed.
The Vikings fan base should be livid. Livid. They spent like close to like $80 million on the guy that was supposed to take them, past the points and beyond, right? And they couldn't get back into the playoffs. And they had elite level defense. Everybody on that team is not, in their 30s. They had elite level defense last year, and it went to waste. He was arguing with his receivers on the sideline.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not common when guys get into it, but that's kind of common like week one, week two, when you're trying to work out bugs. This dude's like, dude, this if you win, you're in, right? That's what I assume. And, again, like you said, they shit the bed. Well, he did, and because like he's the newest face, in town, and all the other components of the team are still there, and it's kind of sad because I feel like there were hopes. I know last year there were high hopes for Minnesota in their division hopes, and you know, trying to, you know, finally going over it's a wrestling term, sorry folks, going over on Green Bay, because Green Bay has obviously taken 10 steps back the way they played. And and we all know Detroit's a mess, and now the Kings of the Midwest are now the Bears, clearly. So a lot of questions got to be answered in the summertime with that Minnesota Vikings franchise. Sorry to admit.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, $84 million stolen from Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, oof, rough.
Now we see why Washington was just giving him franchise tag after franchise tag.
Exactly. How about Philadelphia? This is a similar run that they made last year with Nick Foles. They're making it into the playoffs. I'm nervous for Chicago. Chicago this weekend.
I'm not. That defense is probably, I keep on saying, better than people are giving credit for. Their defense is elite level, and I mean it. I think Nick Foles got an injury. So, at this time, everybody's dinged up. I get it. But he is the special guy. He is the one that makes that team kind of go. And they probably should have made a decision sometime. I keep on hammering that home. They probably should have made a decision sometime middle part of the season to put him when Carson Wentz was struggling. But as it is, they are because I don't think he even finishes the game, Brandon. That's what I mean. So he'll probably start, of course,
right,
going into this. But I still favor the Bears. The Bears, I know people. I think people outside of Chicago, people inside of Chicago, still ain't fully faithful in Trubisky. It's hard. It's got to be hard being a quarterback in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably he's just like a year away. I know we talked about this before. He, you know, the defense is elite, and he's just good. So, but that being said, they can make the run. They got the tools to make a run in the NFC. I'm sorry, yeah, in the NFC playoffs, they do. But I have no. It's not that I don't have faith in Philadelphia. It's just that Philadelphia ain't. This ain't the Philadelphia from last year's team. This ain't last year's team.
Gotcha. Well, with you taking the Bears there, I'm actually going to take the Eagles in this game. I like the Philly Magic Part 2 coming. I think they upset the Bears. Bears, I think, will be there next year. Ohio State touchdown touchdown? Yes, touchdown once again. Good, because I got Urban and them -7, so I need them to continue this. So yes, I will take the Eagles. You'll take the Bears on this one. One more year, sorry, Brandon Brantley, Mitchell Berry, all them fans. one more year. Now to go to a sadder moment, and the bagpipes are playing. We do it every time. We have to put somebody to bed. This time, it's for the team that we know of, the Pittsburgh Steelers. My Steelers,
well,
we've shit the bed. Oh, yeah, bagpipes for sure. We've had a controversial season with Le'Veon Bell situation all year long. We went 7-2, and then you lose 4 games in a row. You miss the playoffs. Probably the most talented offense. Most talented.
I'm glad you said that.
And you don't make it. It's an absolute failure. It's embarrassing. You hold the coaches accountable.
The coach? Okay.
You hold the coaches accountable. You hold the players accountable. You have the
Absolutely.
Antonio Brown drama now that's coming out with this, how he gets into it with Ben the week of week 17, supposedly throws a football at him. Ben says it never happened. He shows up, he misses, skips practice. He skipped a walkthrough the week before for the Saints game. And then he leaves at halftime of Sunday's game. He apparently has requested a trade from Pittsburgh. He's unfollowed Pittsburgh on all the social media accounts now, as reported about an hour ago. John, this is the most embarrassing thing for this franchise, for me to be a Steelers fan. I'm not going to say this is out of the ordinary, though, because if you think back with Pittsburgh Steeler wide receivers, we've had this before. We've had Santonio Holmes. He was a head case, and he ended up shipping out. We had Plexico Burress. Plexico Burress
one point,
did the same thing. He went out.
Yep.
We had Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace did this kind of had issues. He was on his way out. So this is not something that's out of the ordinary. But when you have Le'Veon Bell and you have Antonio Brown, it's yes, you could say that's players, John. But personally, I think it's the culture that the coach has set forth. Do I think it's time for Mike Tomlin to leave? No, absolutely not. It's the guy over the past two seasons has the third best record in the league. If you look at the last 2 years, put them together in the AFC. My problem is that culture. You have to get rid of the defensive coordinator, Keith Butler. The defense has just been atrocious. I've said it now for 3 years. And I said it after Jacksonville game last year that it's sabotaging the offense. Maybe time heals all wounds with Antonio Brown. I don't know. It's such a train wreck that I keep looking for the newest thing that's on Twitter with my team. I don't know.
It's not. Here's how I assess the Pittsburgh situation. Here, you won a game. I mean, you won your last game, right? You always want to win your last game. So Pittsburgh still won their last game. I get it mathematically and how they played, you know, up and down off season that they were out of the playoffs. Did they technically still have a winning record this year?
Yes.
I'm asking. I'm pretty sure, right? So technically still had a winning record this year. I don't necessarily know the general manager's name. So, but you point out three things. Mike Thomson, three things I want to point out. You said Mike Thomson, you said the defense, and you said selfishness basically in the locker room, right? Three things that the Pittsburgh Steelers are known for. Well, one of the things is defense. Another thing is not necessarily having stars, but not necessarily having the spotlight kind of stars, right? And like I said, they always have consistency at the coach position. So again, I don't think Mike Thomson gets removed this year unless he sees somebody actually wants to have a conversation with him about another head coach position. I think he's there for another year. Again, I don't know the general manager's name off top, but like
Kevin Colbert.
So where you drafted that, and I understand that the league is transforming from a defensive like steel curtain type of, but is it really? So you can get sold on offense all you want, but what do we just talked about in our second segment? We talked about the Bears and how I'm in love with the Bears defense. Like, dude, that's legit defense. So when's the last time they brought in players that they would consider Pittsburgh Steelers defensive players? Like, that dude, the defense ain't been since Polamalu and Harrison played together.
Yeah, Polamalu, I was going to say, was probably the last one.
Right. So, they didn't – here's what – and again, upper management, the coach, you're right, didn't nip it in the bud when we started having the me guys, including Ben, because that's what it comes down to, Brandon. Like, if there's special treatment, and I'm not saying there is or isn't, but it seemingly sometimes is. I am saying that. Sometimes there's special treatment for Ben and what he can say and get away with saying. And you feel like you're a star, or you're as important as part of the team, this much as Ben is, and he's not doing the Steelers way of things like Ben did. So that Ben, if they had an incident and Ben said there wasn't an incident, that's the Steelers way of like keeping in the locker room. It's like nothing to really talk
about.
Right. But Le'Veon Bell and Tony Bryant want the attention. They did, Bell they sent home because it became a distraction, and now, just trade him, whatever you can get for him, and then we'll probably, unless you trade him to another team with elite level quarterback play, we'll probably forget about him. That's the truth.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've all fallen off in the past.
So that's how I would address that asset. So trade him for a third rounder, second rounder. I don't know if you get second rounder. You know what I mean? Trade him for that. And you have to rebuild the defense. And, Brandon, you have to bring a quarterback in to transition. I'm not saying a free agent quarterback. I'm saying a young guy. You know what I mean? and to transition or even put pressure to, hey, Ben, hey, it ain't always Brandon. They even brought a backup to scare Brett Favre, right? To give, you know,
yeah.
I mean, not a backup, but, you know, they.
Well,
play,
I mean,
they
drafted a quarterback. Mason
right.
Rudolph,
well,
I mean, he was a great quarterback last year at Oklahoma State, and that's what scared Ben to say, hey, I'm going to come back another 2 to 4 years, you know?
Well, I'm not all for coaches playing head games and whatnot, but everybody at Pittsburgh, outside of, like I said, building, they need to rebuild the defense up. But outside of that, everybody needs to, you know, either be traded or take a piece of humble pie. And try to figure out, like, how – because, again, the team is still has pieces, still has viability to win games. I mean,
yep.
It's just that, you know, they have to hulk up, you know, to use another old wrestling term, they have to hulk up and play defense to beat elite level teams. And you have to be good defensively every game for 16 games and going
into the playoffs. Absolutely. And a lot of it was mental hurdles as well this year. I mean, I watched damn near every game and – John, five of those losses, they had leads in the fourth quarter in five of those games. They finished 9-6. You add those five games, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's 14 wins right there. You're 14-2.
Yeah. They just need to get back to the philosophy of what has historically, because that's how, man, teams, it's crazy. They need to get back to the philosophy of what made Pittsburgh Steelers good to great in the first place. Defense, and I mean, I get it. Everybody falls in love with offense because you can get on ESPN or Fox or the late night, you know what I'm saying, ticket or whatever, you know, late night news highlights. But, you know, a 40-something game is not, unless it's a route, that's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger have been about since they've been put together.
Right.
I mean, I know somebody fact checked me. They did put 50 on the Colts at one point, but I'm just saying that's not what that was the route. the Colts were tough that year, but I'm saying that's what they need. They need more. They get back to what they're known for.
They, Ben did say on his radio show today that he would be back next year. The offensive line is back, which is great. The only problem is the offensive line coach, Mike Munchak, who has been amazing since he's been there with Ben, keeping Ben healthy. He could be on his way out as a head coach with the Broncos or another pro. There's two other teams that have looked at him. So Ben did say that's a concern, and he would do whatever he can to keep him in Pittsburgh. But apparently Munchak's got some kids in Denver. That'd be a great fit for him, supposedly.
Right.
So, and Big Ben said continuity, keeping your star players, keeping your players there, you know, that's what's going to give you another shot at playoffs. I don't think it's time to blow it up. You still have talent. It's just getting that talent you have to gel and just and fix those issues that were there that exposed themselves. And I think they can do it. They have a fairly easy schedule next season. This was a tougher schedule this year. We talked about that we talked all year that second half of the schedule was going to be tough for Pittsburgh, and it proved point. Next year they got some easy games. They have the Colts that are coming at home. Not saying that's going to be an easy game, but they play Indianapolis at home. They play the Bills at home. They play the NFC West.
Well, we all know Andrew Luck don't wake up to after game number three. So.
Yeah, so I'm not writing them all completely off, but it's all drama filled right now. So we'll see. Oh, here's another thing: next year, Colts at the Steelers. It will be a Sunday night football game, and it will be Le'Veon Bell's first game back in Pittsburgh wearing a Colts.
Wow, that's your take. That's what.
That's
think?
My that. That's it. Mark it down.
Man. Colts not. Hey. Colts not making him the second highest player on the team. They're not.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
That's my take.
Looking at predictions real quick for the wild cards. We're both on the Colts. I'm on the Eagles. You're on the Bears. Seahawks and Cowboys in Dallas Saturday night. Who you got?
Man. You know, oh man, all the football guys said – that this dude was going to get fired and that the Cowboys was going to be done. And this dude keeps on winning. I can't shade it. I can't shade them at all. But they kind of run into somewhat of a buzzsaw here in Russell Wilson and Seahawks. The Cowboys are probably looking at a loss here. Sorry, Cowboys fans. The Cowboys are probably looking at a loss here. But their season is not a I don't think their season is a loss at all because they proved a lot of doubters wrong and ultimately.
Including yourself.
They need a little bit more talent.
Okay.
A little more talent.
I'm going to take the Cowboys in this game. I think they get it done.
Oh, man.
Advance to the next round. So I'm going to take Dallas, Chargers, and Ravens. I'm going to take the Ravens. I think the Ravens knock off the Chargers. They're playing good football right now. And
man. All those Lamar Jackson haters, dude, I said when he came out, I said I didn't think he'd have who knows how long anybody got left to play or whatever, but I knew he could play. I mean, I just didn't think. I was like, dude, is he too quick? I'm like, they want to make him a receiver. Hell, now he's dang off starter quarterback going to a playoff game. I still got to go with the Chargers though. A little bit better team.
I'm taking them is because I think of both of those teams. I think the Ravens have the better chance of knocking off the Patriots based on history.
Based on history,
they always give them troubles in the playoffs.
They do.
You know?
They do. Whatever Harbaugh's got in his mind is definitely somewhat of a way to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I just got to go with the Chargers. Chargers got the better team. They've had the better team. I know they took some back steps here last couple of weeks, but you know they've beaten better teams than the Ravens have in the last couple of weeks. So I got to go with the Chargers.
Okay. Looking at some notes from the weekend, Todd Bowles fired by the Jets.
I called
that one. Todd Bowles, first one fired. Vance Joseph fired by the Broncos. Called that one. Surprise one. I think the Dolphins firing Adam Gase. That one I did not see coming. Apparently he is, a lot of teams are looking at him. So, Dolphins have an opening right now. Bengals, I had to search my eyes again. I had to rub them. The Bengals actually fired Marvin Lewis, which was a first.
I believe it, right. Right.
Finally
Tampa
gone.
Bay.
Tampa Bay, Dirk Cutter, fired, let go. They are going to stick with Jameis Winston next year. That has been confirmed already. So that's interesting. They are. I saw the tweet.
Wow.
They are going to stick with Jameis. Ron Rivera is going to remain in Carolina for another season. Swan Song could be next year, so be ready.
Yeah.
Cardinals fired Steve Wilks, second year. Cardinals do have the number one pick in the draft now, which will probably be an offensive lineman to try to help Rosen out there. What else we've got? How about this one, John? I know you'd like the Packers are wanting to interview Josh McDaniels and Northwestern's head coach Fitzgerald for the job.
Man. You know, Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't even bring him for an interview. He's destined to, I guess, in his mind, take over New England after Bill Belichick and Tom Brady make their exit. The Northwestern coach, unless some other team, another SEC team, right? Because that's how I remember a kid. I can't remember his coach's name back in Wisconsin. He cashed out on Arkansas, and we haven't heard from him since.
Payline,
he was down
Bo Pelini.
Wisconsin's old coach was King Kong. Running through the Big Ten in Wisconsin, and then goes to Arkansas, and we forgot about it. He's got such a bad poor losing record. But if they do go with the Northwestern guy, how long is Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, man. We'll see. I think Aaron Rodgers is looking for some more expansive ways to utilize his talent on obviously on offense. I think Green Bay is. Green Bay is the kind of they are behind. They got some young players, I know, defensively, so the maturity to come with another training camp and another year, right? But they still got some gaps that they need to fill. Pass rushing is still not one of their stronger suits, I don't believe. And then they don't really have any great dynamicism in their wideout core, or in their tight end core, or in their tight end core. I don't believe so. So they've got a lot of holes to fill. It's got to be a dream job, right? To coach in Lambeau and coach for that franchise, because it's one of the most storied franchises that we have here in the American sports, period, right? But outside of having him an elite level quarterback, and he's probably, we can say, definitely in the top three currently playing. I say three, but he's getting dinged up and getting older too, right? They've got a lot of holes to fill. So I kind of see them having a season like they had this year, next year, to be honest with you.
Okay.
All the other teams, with the exception of Detroit, all those other teams in they can make some patchwork. Can they make some patchwork? You know, to get back into where they're, but their defense is never going to be as good as
no.
Bears.
I think it's Bears. Just like this year, Bears. I think it's Bears, Packers, Vikings, Lions next year.
Yeah, but I don't think two teams going to get in from the North Division next year.
No, not at all. It'd just be just one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lambeau and looking for a coach, Mike McCarthy has been contacted by the Browns. I think that actually, I had to think about it for a minute if that's something that I could see going, but I don't know if that would help Baker Mayfield with a Mike McCarthy.
I don't think so either. Mike McCarthy is kind of like he runs a balanced football program. We know this. Baker Mayfield kind of needs the Sean McVay, right? We kind of need to utilize it.
He really, to be honest, he could, as he should have.
He might have broken a record for rookie quarterback in touchdowns if he had started. But as it stands, you know, the powers that be, the coaching staff that ultimately was removed, right, didn't start him. They started Tyrod Taylor. And I know why they started Tyrod Taylor, because he's the free agent quarterback, the signing, whatever. But you got to see it. You got to be able to see it on the field that if Baker Mayfield is better than Tyrod Taylor like day one, then he should start. And maybe he would have won. Maybe he would have kept his job. But you know, we definitely know going further that it's going to be the future is so bright. I mean, like I say, we talked great plus about what the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do, and we also talked about the Ravens and how good they're looking as well. But the future got to be looking just as good with Cleveland just as well. So
yeah, I honestly think I hate to say it, but Josh McDaniels with a young quarterback, with Baker, I think him and Baker would mesh very, very well. Just gonna throw that out there.
Man, Josh McDaniels, listen. You can take Josh McDaniels out. I'm getting ready to shade him again. You can take Josh McDaniels out your mind. Go get the kid. You know what the Browns need? Not a retread. They need the kids from – they need the coach from Oklahoma State. I'm sorry, from Oklahoma. Go ahead.
They can't.
You said they can or can't?
They cannot.
Why not?
Because that gentleman just signed a very lucrative extension this evening.
Wow. Well, they got him signed, sealed, delivered, huh?
Very, it was in quotes, very lucrative. So they did something to keep him for a while, which I think is a smart move on his behalf. I mean, you just took your team to the college football playoff. Yeah, it didn't go your way, but I think the future is bright for Oklahoma with that. So,
sure.
But looking at the coaching openings that are out there, I kind of ranked them where most desirable and the best options. I went Browns, Packers, Jets, Dolphins, Bengals, Cardinals, Bengals, I had Bengals in there twice. Cardinals and Bucks. There was some team I'm missing.
I'd almost put the Bucks last or the Bengals last. They had to be
Broncos is what I'm missing. Excuse me. Bengals are second to last. Broncos are after the Dolphins. So,
oh, man. Okay.
But I like the Browns job over the Packers if it was my choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Believe it. Right. I concur. Even with Aaron Rodgers being who he is, there's a whole lot more toys to play with in Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. An interesting move, speaking of teams in turmoil, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tom Coughlin, not a fan of T.J. Yeldon or Leonard Fournette, and it's so bad that the Jaguars want to avoid the remaining guarantees on Fournette's contract and move on from him, possibly.
Man, it's just a mess. You know, Tom Coughlin's well respected, and we know he's a hard-nosed kind of guy. And he's, you know, obviously, you know, either coach or orchestrated teams. Oh, yeah, that beat, you know, the Evil Empire twice in recent memory. Right. Well, not, you know, far recent memory. But, and he had a little special, we thought he had a little special magic going into this season. And the team kind of just, well, they beat the Colts fast the second time around. But they have some real problems down in Jacksonville. I thought it was with the corny ass cornerback and his crazy self saying such quarterback was overrated, but Jalen Ramsey. But they've got, you know what, Brandon? I think all teams got drama. It's kind of like how you handle it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we went through like a multitude of teams, and usually the ones that are end up, you know, closer to. You know, I mean, everybody ain't gonna win the Super Bowl trophy, but do usually the ones that are highly respected or get closer to the, you know, to that championship game, they had the less drama.
Right.
Sorry, I mean, even with Tom Brady breaking his phone, right? You know, years ago, they usually don't have a whole lot of drama. You know, either in the locker room, either with teammates, or definitely not against the coach or coaches or general managers going against players like this, like it is currently in some franchises. I don't know. It seems like Jacksonville seemed. They're not gonna fire the coach or whatever, right? But they've got a young enough defense that if they eliminate distractions. So if they're gonna eliminate Leonard Fournette, he automatically, because I mean I'm sure he'd be a free agent for all of like maybe 5 seconds, right? Maybe 10, because you know running backs are thought of, you know, a secondary role, but you know Tom Coughlin probably just wants. An old mentality where, dude, if you're hurt or injured, it's different. So if you're hurt, you should be out there. If you're injured, that's a different situation. So now, obviously, we know they have quarterback woes where, you know, they only resign Bortles because there's nobody else to resign. So I don't know. They've got a lot. Again, I just said what Green Bay had to hold field. It seemingly like Jacksonville's got a lot of holes to fill.
Right.
And they don't have. They don't. I don't even think they have faith in a lot of the players that they have on their roster.
Okay. Oh, we've got breaking news coming out of it. Two. Breaking news from Pro Football Talk. We talked about young coaches in college. You know, possibly making the next step with high-powered offenses. Cliff Kingsbury, who used to be the Texas Tech coach. Known for a lot of offense down there, played for Texas Tech, expected to interview with the Jets and the Cardinals both.
All right.
And how about, and speaking of that, how about Dana Altman from West Virginia being named today as the head coach of Houston? The Houston Cougars locked him up with that type of offense he had.
Oh, well, now you flip back to college. I think I called Syracuse beating with West Virginia, as that offense is going to look a little differently as the quarterback decided to prepare himself for the NFL draft. Syracuse got the win. I know Chris Bosciento is a big Syracuse Orangeman fan. I want to shout him out when I'm talking about these Orangemen. But man, there's been a lot of transition. Houston took a step. They just fired Scott Frost. So Houston's looking like you can't. I've always said this before. You can't be a sucky program in Texas. You can't. Texas football in Texas means a whole other thing.
Tonight's the Super Bowl.
You're talking about them against Georgia?
Yeah.
Right.
It's the Super Bowl tonight.
Yeah. Texas, everything in Texas. I'm talking about all Texas schools. Texas Tech, Texas A&M, even Baylor. And we know what the, you know, great. I'm not saying great. We know the
right.
underhanded things Baylor has done to become to have a winning program. But like things in like football in Texas is taken way to a whole different level of seriousness. So mm-hmm. even in a small school like Houston, they will cannibalize other teams real fast to get who they want to bring a winning mentality back to their program.
Right. Okay. So let's shift over to the college football.
Okay.
College football recap. Some of the bowl games, some of the notable ones. First off, we'll start with Auburn just putting a hammer to the Purdue Boilermakers.
Man.
Boiler down.
They just fell in love with Jeff Brom. Now everybody fell out of love. Like, man, can he get back to Louisville? They can have him.
I did not get to see any of the game. I was at work, but oof, probably a good thing I didn't.
It's just real fluky. It just seemed like real fluky, man. I had Auburn. Because I thought they were Auburn. When it comes down to some of these bowl games, not necessarily by – I know we getting caught up sometimes. I'm talking about me myself. And SEC versus Big Ten versus Pac-10. And, you know, those are just discussions or whatever. But Auburn just had a better team. So did you expect 63 points better? No. Especially after Purdue, you know, stood, you know, toe-to-toe and beat Ohio State. And then I think that they, you know, barely did. I mean, they lost, but you know, the rest of the Big Ten schedule, Michigan State, you know, so on and so forth. So, just seemed like it takes the Ohio State win as it seemed like a fluke, you know. And I don't know if he can rebound. I mean, he should be able to rebound from this. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what his recruiting class looks like. I know it's, you know what I mean. I don't know who's got coming in, who's committed. But they're still going to be, you know, bottom of the Big Ten, seemingly. I mean, top bottom of half of the Big Ten.
Top bottom. I like that.
Top bottom. So, like, anywhere between 6 and 7. Hoping
okay.
that as long as they'll be like next year, man, if we beat Minnesota, if we beat IU, we're in. But, you know, everybody gets a bowl game, but, you know,
right.
you don't expect to get blown out like that.
Speaking of blowouts, one more time, two in a row, Florida Gators dominate Michigan Wolverines,
man.
Who just quit. Quit.
I was disappointed in them. I quit watching it.
I took Florida plus the 6.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad time. I mean, he's not going to do it because if he loses the Big Ten next year, it's just because. You know, Brandon, he doesn't have a quarterback like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like he had at Stanford. And in the NFL, you can just, you know, you can go develop, you can either develop your quarterback like he did, as he had Alex Smith, and he kind of had a quarterback in waiting with Colin Kaepernick, or you just go get the free agent one and go, you know what I mean, go get you one. I think Jim Harbaugh would probably work wonders with Kirk Cousins, but who knows if that. They ever get in the same room together. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say Jim is still a great coach. Okay. He put together a great defense. His quarterbacks that he got, that he has, are, I don't know. I don't even know if they could, I don't want to say nothing horrible. I don't know if they can play to any, I don't even know if they can play to any other state.
Ooh. shots fired.
That shot fired at the quarterback. That shot fired at the Sycamores, right?
That's at both of them.
Right.
Dang.
Right.
Even our home state.
But I don't know if he could have. I mean, that's his problem. So I'm not saying that he was right. He had Andrew Luck at Stanford, and they won a lot of games, and that's kind of got how he got the Michigan job. He hasn't got a quarterback, but quarterbacks don't come to Michigan.
Yeah.
You know? So, I'm sure he's watching the Rose Bowl right now. Right?
I'm sure he is, too.
I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is watching the Rose Bowl right now. But, like, his main competitor is leaving. So, he has to win. He has to win the Big Ten next year. Has to.
Yeah. Looking at a few other games, two games. Kentucky knocking off Penn State today.
Man.
Kentucky, who you
Made
thought.
Me sound like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be a 60-piece. And it was not.
SEC.
Kentucky? Wow. I don't know how. Mm. Man. I don't know how, man. That's a head-scratcher right there.
The Big Ten's not looking good in the bowl games.
Well, they're
besides
not.
Besides Ohio State and Wisconsin.
Yeah, they are not.
In Northwestern, I guess.
This wasn't their year. This year for bragging rights when you talk about conferences or whatnot.
So do you apologize to Kentucky then, to all those fans?
I will apologize. Why? Let me think about this. You want because we're talking about two different things here. You're saying in one hand that the Big Ten was not one of the better conferences this year, right? Or not on
Correct.
Par with the SEC. Not on par with the SEC. Okay?
Correct.
But Ohio
yes.
State's still better than Oklahoma. Ohio State's still better than Oklahoma.
Yes. I agree. I agree with that.
I don't know, man.
You pissed a lot of people off in Lexington.
Ohio State is better than Notre Dame.
I'm not going to debate that either.
I didn't think because okay, here's what I say. Because Kentucky's not known for a football school, right? I thought a lot of their wins were they were bottom feeding on the SEC, like Alabama does. You know what I mean? I thought they were, you know. And then obviously I was wrong. They actually have, you know, there's going to be some – I guarantee there's going to be some scouts that pull a lot of their defensive players to either get drafted or show up at their training camps this summer.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, our big showdown that we had, LSU, UCF. They ain't got what it takes to hang.
Oh man, did they have their quarterback then?
Okay. LSU was missing six people. Six of their starters. Or five starters.
Well,
so
five starters.
Go back down to your American conference, that soft ass schedule. I was ready to eat my words today if I had to, but
well,
I was ready
to
pull for them.
They made it real interesting at the half. I wonder, could UCF beat Notre Dame?
No. Nope.
You think LSU could beat Notre Dame?
Well, they had a shot a year ago, and it didn't happen.
Sorry, Golden Domer fans, we're picking on Notre Dame right now, and there's a lot.
I think Notre Dame is a very talented team. I think they're better than LSU. I think they're better than UCF. Are they better than Ohio State? No. Are they better than
Georgia? No.
No. Are they better than Texas?
I know I joked around and said Urban Meyer needs to go to Notre Dame. I think that's still something. That'd be a long shot, even if he takes a year and a half off. There's a lot of people in my timeline that say Notre Dame just can't compete because they can't get the athletes or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or they play a soft-ass schedule. I don't think the schedule's soft. So anybody listening who thinks Notre Dame plays a soft schedule, they don't. They play who's in front of them. Have I ever taken shots at the ACC for who they are for this year? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech and Miami and Duke and North Carolina all weren't that great this year. And they all are teams that kind of have, like, from year to year are good. So, this year, Notre Dame found a back way to get into the playoff system. So, we can't shade it. They just, Dabo Swinney is a snake oil salesman because he's got a team behind the team, obviously, because he had three – with how many guys got suspended?
Five? No, three.
Yeah, three guys. Like, dude, he might not be as deep as Alabama and Nick Saban, but he's got dudes that's ready to play. And so again, you know, your assessment of Notre Dame is correct. They are they just found a back way to get into the playoff system. But I don't know who they need. It's not Brian Kelly's fault.
No.
It's not. It's just that he's got a team of starters. And dude, you know what? Anybody who thinks Notre Dame there's gonna be somebody next year off Notre Dame that's gonna make somebody's pro squad, two or three guys probably. It's just the fact that Alabama and Clemson got maybe nine.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
By the way, this game's a wrap.
Well, hey, Urban Meyer, I told you 30-piece.
28-3 right now in the third quarter. 28-3. Easiest money I've ever won is betting with Urban Meyer. I've never betted against Urban Meyer, and I've won every time.
Could
you just
he
don't
coach
bet
Notre
against
Dame?
Him.
So let's play fantasy. Could he coach in Notre Dame?
Yes.
So,
you know why? He's done it before.
As an assistant?
Yep. He was an assistant coach. I have a picture I posted on Twitter of him. I said, it's time.
Could he run his type of program? Would he most like?
Yes.
Again, his program does not mirror – his program running right now at Ohio State does not mirror anything that he ran at Florida. I'm talking about players who he brought in.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Well, then let's look at Brian Kelly. Notre Dame didn't have that type of offense before Brian Kelly, and when he's came in, what he's brought from Cincinnati and I think they could easily adapt there at Notre Dame with his type of style. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't put Brian Kelly problems with him. I think Notre Dame's young, has some young guys. I think the quarterback, it was too big of a moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Brandon Wimbush should take back those transfer papers and be ready for next year. But I mean, Notre Dame had one. I'm going to say they had 50-50 balls did not go Notre Dame's way. They were in it at halftime still. You know, they were in it until mainly the third quarter. But a couple 50-50 balls here or there, a fumble here, a fumble there, we'd be talking differently about this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it just so happened that Clemson was, you know, they were perfect on all aspects of the game that they needed to be. And with luck on your side, that's how you get a 30-3 win over Notre Dame. And Notre Dame just, for some reason, they're just terrible in bowl games, which I don't get. I don't know if it's the layoff. Maybe it's the layoff for them. I don't know. Looking at the other game, Alabama, Oklahoma, never in doubt. Is what I said on Twitter after the second touchdown.
Nah. Kyler Murray is a good athlete, tough little guy. I think I told nobody, don't take nobody. Hopefully, don't get my get offended. I said he's like the Black Doug Blue. He's a little tough guy, man. He can throw it. I saw a lot of bats. Like, you know, I saw Alabama bat a lot of his balls down, and they went after him. And they pressured him, and like, could he play? I mean, but here's the thing, man. People get crazy, Brandon. They, you know, Alabama fans can't stand him. Oh, Kyler Murray couldn't play in the SEC. He couldn't play for Tennessee. He couldn't play. They, you know, and that's not true. Kyler Murray can play for anybody, any Division I team in the country. Just the fact that, you know, the funk of defensive players they threw at him and defensive schemes that Alabama was capable of throwing him is on par or darn near with the NFL defense, right?
Right.
Going further, I mean, obviously, this going to be a heck of it's going to be like a Titan versus a Titan when Alabama plays Clemson. I don't think Kyler Murray. You know, he plays baseball. I think he'll get drafted by an NFL team. I just don't think it'll be in the first three rounds. It won't be.
Okay. Yeah, Alabama. So it comes down to this Monday night national championship, Alabama, Clemson. Who you got? Rematch from two years ago.
It's hard, man. I don't, dude. You know. It's a contrast of styles, believe it or not, man. Nick Saban wants all the points possible and time possession and calls, everything, man, right? And he coaches in a certain – he coaches like that, in that way. Dabo Swinney, I don't trust a word he says. He tried to say he didn't know what those players took, like he'd never heard of it, and he, you know, made fun. I pronounce it, I can't even. I won't. But I don't believe a word he says, man. He's the coach, so I'm sure he's truthful with his players and his staff. But as far as like how he handles media, I don't trust him. But with all that being said, man, he's got these are two best teams in college football. You can say the SEC sucks. You can say the ACC is overrated, or you can switch those rather, right? But These are two best teams. Period. These are two best teams in college football. I think Clemson. It's a head scratcher how they lose one game. You know what I mean? it must be like focus. They lose focus after homecoming or something like that, or going into homecoming. But these are two best teams. When I thought about it today, I was like, man, what would Alabama's record look like if they played a Big Ten schedule? Or what would Clemson's record look like if they played a Big Ten schedule? Because I am favorable to the Big Ten. And,
right.
And I think they would lose maybe one game or less than. Either they still be undefeated or they wouldn't lose a game. And so this is they got it right. You know, these are two best teams in college football. You're waiting for a winner. Man, got to go with Alabama. I'll be rooting for Clemson, but got to go with Alabama. Clemson's got a rookie quarterback. He looks like he got all the, you know, as far as collegially, he looks like he got all the tools to be a good one. But you kind of said something last segment. A big moment, man. Saban is going to be keyed in, and I think he wins another national championship. He's not going to let no freshman beat him.
Yeah, I'm going to take in this rematch this time. I'm going to take Alabama. I think Saban's got some demons to exercise here, based off two years ago how that game ended. I think Alabama wins another title here. Side note for this game: 2 years ago was probably the sickest I've ever been in my entire life. I got sick the morning of the national championship game. Believe it or not, John, I never saw a single second of the game. That's how sick I was and how knocked out I was. I woke up. I fell asleep at 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and I did not wake up I woke up to get sick. Not be as graphic, but I didn't wake up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, really, on the next day on Tuesday before I seen who won. So I will be anxious to actually watch this game this time and not be sick, because that happened to me on Christmas. So, yes, I've got Alabama, and I got Alabama by a close game, within a touchdown.
I was gonna say like 10, but yeah, because like I said, Clemson is good. They just, you know, got a freshman.
Ooh, that Ohio State guy right there looked like you.
Oh, you're talking about the man with the helmet.
Yeah, with the dreads and all. Yeah, of course. Question for you, and you're a big sports guy, and you know about history and such in sports. When was the last time that a conference dismembered, or what conference was it that's dismembered? Was it the Big Eight? Yeah.
They like broke up.
Was it the Big Eight?
Football. I wanted them to say technically it was the Big East and the Big East basketball, but technically the Big East is still running, but it ain't what it used to be. But if you're talking about this, it's like totally dismembered. Cause yeah, now the Big Eight is now the Big 12. So yeah, the other eight teams are spread out. So it's like Nebraska used to be in the Big Eight. Now we obviously know the Big Ten. But yeah,
okay.
It was the Big Eight, yeah.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because I think the Pac-12 needs to do it for their football and basketball teams.
man.
John, the Pac-12, football and basketball.
They still got a shot to make the tournament.
They do. They're the best team.
Man.
How about your boy, Steve Alford, getting fired by UCLA?
The inside track build I got from it is that the fan base they don't know Steve Alford like me and you know Steve Alford. Like, here in Indiana, like, if you go anybody from the ages between, I say, 50 to early 30s, basketball probably begins and ends at some point. College basketball Larry Bird, Bobby Knight, Steve Alford, and then everybody else, right? There's some, I mean, there's some other names in there. We can, you know, Oscar Robertson. There's other names we can throw in there. But those are the names that everybody – and because Steve Alford – but, like, so the UCLA fan base, even though he made the Sweet 16, you know, I think he made Sweet 16 like 3 or 4 times. I could be wrong on that. Somebody had to fact check me on that one. But even though he made the Sweet 16, even though they turned out, you know, high level, you know, he brought in McDonald's All-American, they never fully embraced Steve Alford totally. They were always super critical. Hell, before he got Lonzo Ball, there was. They wanted to fire him a year, 2 years ago, I thought. But the inside, the track I got from is that UCLA, they want to. I mean, who doesn't? Like, dude, like that's the nature of college basketball. I mean, they want to win big, like Duke. They want to win big, like, you know, the Kansas and Dukes of the world. And they've gotten players in, and for whatever reason, they haven't, like, he's got an NBA guy, the kid from here. He's got an NBA-level guy. He's bringing in NBA-level talent, but they are – I don't think Steve's coaching style really speaks to that, like, that style. You know what I mean? I know Coach K has kind of turned his style around, and now he kind of has embraced the one and done, right? And we know Calipari, shit, if he didn't invent it, he's mastered it, right? But, like, Mixing those guys in with the team that you have is like a hard sell. It's a difficult mesh. I knew, you know, everybody here in Hoosierland wanted Alford to come, you know, 2 coaches ago, and obviously that's off the table. Especially with, you know, with Archie Miller's kind of trying to put together, he's putting together a decent program, right? IU's going back. IU's on the upswing.
Right.
Hey, Alford will have another job. He will have another job next year. I promise you.
Absolutely.
And it's probably a happy divorce, to be honest with you.
Please tell me you saw Dick Vitale's tweet today.
I can't believe Dick Vitale won the tweet. I want to hear Dick Vitale. What is Dick Vitale? Did he bitch and moan about it?
He did not. Well, no. Let me bring it up on my phone because I don't want to say it wrong, and I want to give
right.
you the full thing. And I
be a homer.
And I tweeted back at him about it.
And sometimes can be caught in the moment. And again, if you don't win, and if you don't win in sports, they will, you know, ADs, presidents, they will fire you. And UCLA wanted to be more than just a Sweet 16 team, or you know, casually in the Final Four. They want to win the final game. So go ahead.
I've got it, and I want you to sit down. Make sure you're sitting down for this. Hey, on this New Year's Day, and then at UCLA lovers, please give a call to AD Dan Guerrero, who I respect, and tell him to hire, all caps, Rick Pitino. They will be top 10 and relevant instantly. Yes, it will take lots of guts to get that done, but the rewards will be super.
No, there's no
Stop
way.
It,
like,
Stop
like,
it.
There's no way. No, there's no way. He shouldn't even, like, Rick Pitino, no.
Stop
That's
it.
Comical. He had so many opportunities, and he's won championships, and when he's on the wrong side of, you know, I mean, he could still coach, obviously, but, man, like, dude, it's too much controversy and too much shambles that he left programs in. That I couldn't have him around another college program.
The Pitino's the same guy that had sex with a female, and after 7 seconds, he came so fast in 7 seconds that he said it wasn't considered sex. So,
yeah, he.
You know, that's my famous Pitino line now.
Yeah, very, very. Yeah, that was, you know, the affair he had, you know, and then he didn't know about what another coach had going on, running a brothel or whatever, hook 'em up site in a dorm, you know, like guys, like I don't know why college guys can't find girls on their own. You know, that we gotta have the coaching staff go out here and find girls for us. Like, no, man, there's no way I would have. Again, I respect Pitino as a coaching mind and ability to put bring talented players and win games, but he could not coach on my college. If I was an AD, no way.
I agree. Couple last things. Number one, Yasiel Puig traded from the Dodgers to the Reds. Reds did
That's
get finally get some guys.
He's in your locker room now.
I love it. We're not asleep at the wheel. We're going in and get some players.
I'm a real casual baseball fan. Puig seemingly has a basketball player's heart because he wants the attention on him, and that's kind of not how baseball teams kind of work. But Cincinnati needs a jolt, and there's your jolt right there.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. They got some good pitching with it as well. They got Matt Kemp as well. It's a step in the right direction for the team that was third worst record in baseball. Still have Votto. They don't have Billy Hamilton anymore, who was the leading league in stolen bases. But the GM says they're not done yet. So, and I believe them. I think they still have another move to make. Dodgers, it says them making this move opens up for Bryce Harper. So should be interesting to see if Harper does end up going there. Manny Machado.
They pay $120 million? Oh, my God.
Apparently. Magic will pay him. What's his face? Manny Machado just followed the YES Network, which for those sports fans that know the YES Network exclusively follows New York Yankees. So Machado to the Yankees possibly could be happening soon. Maybe he just likes New Jersey TV. Who knows? But, yeah, it was good to see. And final, let's end on the Pacers. Actually, two things. Let's end on the Pacers. Pacers looking good. Knocked off Atlanta again, which they should have. Miles Turner broke his nose, so a little injury here. People are a little concerned, John, I'm seeing on Twitter, about Depot not scoring as much as he's had since he's came back from the injury. I just don't think he's had to. The team has stepped up. You know, everybody's scoring.
Right. Everybody's scoring. Everybody's playing. So, like, when they have opportunity with the ball, because everybody, I think everybody kind of learned how to play, how to get their shots, right, when Victor is not there. So, more opportunities. You know, they're playing a quicker pace with Larry Bird, like, 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago, wanted the team to play. But I don't think necessarily had the staff. And, like, everybody's kind of bought in to the coach, the team philosophy. There's a star on this team, but he's not. Somebody who continuously gloats on himself, and he knows he needs teammates to further advance his career. Pacers. There were some missteps. I thought the Pacers. I mean, we don't. It's only December, so we shouldn't necessarily panic about Pacers going on a 2-game losing slide or even 3-game for that matter. But you know, as a fan, you want your team to win as many as possible, or if not all of them, right? There's no reason now why any fan should question Miles Turner. guys.
I apologize.
He's played the way we kind of want him to play, playing defense, blocking shots. Maybe not necessarily always getting 25 points and 10 rebounds, but who gets that every night? Tim Duncan ain't walking through that door. You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't get 25 and 10 every night. And even if you do get 25 and 10, Anthony Davis, you still might be 13th in the West. So would the Pacers trade anybody right now?
No.
It had to be a mega trade. I say no, but it had to be something special, like where they would be getting, but it's not going to happen because, again, you know.
Third best record in the league.
Well, I'm going to say, those superstar players aren't necessarily tied to Indiana, nor do I think they don't want to come to Indiana, so they're not going to necessarily be in any type of trade talks. But, yeah, third best record in the league. And again, if the Pacers fill out, and I'm just thinking further down, you know what I mean? I always try to future think. If the Pacers fill out next year that, you know, whoever they target in free agency, they always say they want to go after, you know, they're going to go after spend money or whatever, right? Then bring this team back. Shoot. If they don't get them, then bring this team back together. Same team. Well, it'd be a little different, but, you know, similar pieces, because this team is kind of indicative of, you know, Indiana, like how they wanted, you know, how they wanted their team to be built, like, you know, how they want to their team to look. Real deep team. I can't keep on saying nothing good about the Pacers. other than they need to win, you know, just beat those bottom feeder teams. Don't even let them have a chance to be in the game.
Second to last thing, I need you to do me a favor. Well, it's going to be tough next Monday night with the national championship on, but I need you to tune in to a little bit of Raw next week. First one of 2019. Vince, Triple H.
Be on?
I don't know. NXT is what he's been doing.
Okay. So they're going to work up through the system too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But next week's Raw, the tag titles are on the line. Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and Braun Strowman will appear on the show with McMahon and all them. So it's Royal Rumble season. It's WrestleMania season. I need you tuning in a little bit, JB.
I'll watch it because Vince is on there. But has he ever had a program with Brock Lesnar? He's never had.
I don't think he has.
That might be what, if I had to predict, that's probably what it, he's never had a program. He wouldn't necessarily have to see that thing. The dream of the magic about that is he wouldn't have to have a program with Brock. We know Brock can't talk. He can talk okay, but he ain't like The Rock. He ain't like Stone Cold.
Right.
So the program would actually be him and who? Paul, right? Man, that might be worth watching, him and Paul.
Yeah.
Because I respect Paul's mind just as much as I respect Vince's mind. Vince has got the billions of dollars. Paul, not so much.
When your title shots are set for Royal Rumble, Strowman versus Lesnar and AJ Styles, spoiler alert for tonight, since this was already taped over the weekend for SmackDown, AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan again for the title. Then you have your two Royal Rumble matches. So we'll see what happens with all that.
I would imagine... I don't know, man. They need to move Braun to SmackDown and bring AJ back over to Raw. They need to do that kind of trade. Give Braun the Undertaker treatment like they did. Remember, you know, when Undertaker used to come out. The Undertaker ruled SmackDown, even though he wasn't necessarily always the champ. Yeah, give Braun that title. Give him that title over there, that position over there, and bring AJ back to the main show. AJ's the best worker.
Yeah, I agree. And final thing tonight, our showdown we've talked about for a while now, Sugar Bowl, Texas, Georgia. We've both said that Georgia's good, but I've been on record to say, and you've agreed when we did it, Georgia, this is a step down of a game for them. Texas, this is a program-defying game for Tom Herman and his program. They have more to gain with this game. I think we both are on Texas. Spread is -12.5 Georgia. Give me Texas money line. Give me Texas +12.5. Texas does it tonight.
I got it. I went with Texas just because Georgia probably should have been in the national championship picture, but because
Georgia's not on your mind, right? They're not on your
Georgia's
mind. That
on
song.
When and if they ever expand the playoff situation. A team like Georgia would definitely be in conversation. So it is. I think it is somewhat of a step back game for them mentally. Like it's not necessarily who they wanted to play, but they still are the more talented team. But I thought they were more talented than Alabama. But they always find a way to lose to Alabama, or they always seem to lose to teams they're not supposed to lose to. So again, I got to go with Texas because. Tom Herman's team is on the rise. They lost they lost some head scratchers, but they always seem to be like bounce back and beat teams or own them throughout the season. They made it to the Big 12 championship game. We know that story. They lost to Oklahoma, so on and so forth. But yeah, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I got Texas because they're on the upright.
Perfect. If you're listening to this live, check out the Twitter accounts tonight at Three Foolish Men and then at Brandon Reef. We'll probably be live tweeting it back and forth to each other. Thoughts on the game. If you're listening to us on podcast, go back in time, find those tweets, and then tell us how right or wrong we are, those things. One last thing, Bird Box.
Right.
I finally watched it.
Did you?
I liked it.
I don't know how you couldn't.
Sandra Bullock. That's my girl.
I
was told you should watch it blindfolded too, well. It's a whole different style if you watch it that way.
People are weirdos, man. No, there's been so many interpretations and how people view this movie. People have written articles about them. That's the first one I've heard where you watch it blindfold. You can just watch it without, you know what I'm saying, all the biblical or the political or even racial interpretations that you did. It's actually just a good movie about the end of the world. Really.
Yeah.
You can look at it like that as well, like how that all, you know, trying to transpire. I don't want to mess it up for anybody. I know like 10 million, over 10 million people have seen it, viewed it, which means that's Netflix way of if 10 million, if they said 10 million people viewed it, then how many people was in the room when they viewed it, right?
So, yeah, or how many people shared accounts.
How many people shared accounts, correct. Right. I kind of said, man, like, how did they mess up and not put this at the theater? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. It seems like it's a lot of money cashed out that they missed out on. But there's a lot of movies. But, heck, there's a lot of movies that can make money right now. I think that movie would have been the number one movie in the world had they released it during Halloween around the Halloween time.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great movie if you haven't seen
it. Be ready next week. Be looking for Jonathan's tweets next week. During the national championship, they will be showing the new Marvel preview for the next Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So
we'll
get your thoughts on that. I'll be anxious to hear what I do want to hear from you. Has Will Ferrell lost his way? 8% Rotten Tomato on Holmes and Watson? 8%?
Well, you got to understand that the people, like Sherlock Holmes is a classic story about a detective, and like, you know, him watching him and John, I can't remember his name, Wreck-It Ralph actor.
John C. Riley. Wreck-It
Ralph.
Yeah,
John C. Riley. him and John C. Riley, I know everybody knows him from different things, but him and John C. Riley are a great comedic duo, but like everybody doesn't want to see Step Brothers. We want to see Step Brothers maybe a sequel. We don't want to see Step Brothers doing Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is kind of serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where a smart guy figures out how said criminal got away with said criminal with his brains. He don't use a gun, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So for them to do like one their bit where they either A, they're doing, you know, they're not, you're not first, you're last, or they're doing one of their bits from Step Brothers, it's not a good mesh.
Yeah. I feel like it was written 4 years ago, and the fact some of the jokes they say and there were like from 4 years ago. It's like it doesn't make any sense now. Yeah, it's like I feel like Will Ferrell's like, hey, you know, let's get everybody. Let's just make the worst movie in history and put it out. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I would tell you go see the Sherlock Holmes or invest in the Sherlock Holmes oh my God, I'm having a hard time with names right now, man. Washington State Discord again.
What about Bumblebee?
I haven't seen Bumblebee yet either, but no, go see the Sherlock Holmes that Robert Downey Jr. did. I know it's from a few years back.
I've seen it.
Yeah, that's what people want to see Sherlock Holmes do, like a real smart guy. So it can be funny, but it has to be somewhat serious as well.
Yeah. Okay. Any last things from you?
Man, just like to say thanks again for the opportunity, man. Crossroads Sports, dude. You know, I listen. You know, Brandon, I try to get the beat of people. Like, I listen. I don't really debate. I don't really Facebook argue or Twitter argue anymore about sports takes or whatever. I give my take. If you like it, great. If you don't. But I really try to, you know, get all-encompassing from all fans, all aspects of, like, where they think their team is going to be at and where I think their team should be at. So I want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to lament on that. Outside of that, man, I want to wish everybody Happy New Year. I think that's it. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah. We're going to have a big 2019, more to come. And like I said, we'll keep bringing it as long as God's willing. And we'll see you guys next week. One point after the national championship game, we'll get back on here and get you Colts playoff game update and results. So that's our show, everybody. Everybody have a great evening. John, take care, buddy. I'll see you on Twitter here shortly.
All right, man. Thanks for listening.
See you, buddy.
Crossroads Sports.